chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse number 14. We'll read through the end of the chapter. Paul, of course, is the author of this book. And even in Sunday school this morning, Brother Van Winkle reminded us about church at Ephesus and so forth. But verse 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." And let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to open the pages of this blessed book. Father, the words in this book are words that can change our lives. Father, I trust that to my knowledge, at least in this room, most of us are born-again believers. If that's not the case, then I would pray and trust that anyone that does not know Christ as their Savior, that they would make today that day. But even though we've been changed and transformed by the power of the Gospel, yet there's more transformation to take place even after we're saved. There's sanctification, the process of sanctification, growth as a Christian. So Lord, I pray that You'll continue to work on us. And I pray especially that today You'll use this message from this feeble servant to communicate the truth that You have for us this morning. And then use it to, yes, grow us and to further transform us, please. And as Paul ended this chapter saying all the glory would go to Jesus Christ, I pray that that would be the case today. Well, thank You for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I would draw your attention back to verse number 20, which is really the key verse. We're going to consider the rest of the verses as well, all the verses we read this morning. But I particularly want you to see verse 20, because it's in that verse that I see a phrase that captured my attention when I read this passage recently. And we'll read it for you again here. It says, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." Watch it now. Here it comes. "According to the power that worketh in us." According, you might even underline that phrase if you're in the habit of marking your Bibles. Underline that phrase, "according to the power that worketh in us." And I want to preach for a few moments this morning this message, getting plugged in. Getting plugged in. I was just as I was sitting in the song service here, the Lord put this little illustration in my mind. I never really thought about it or planned it, but I'll give it to you briefly. Because as I've been thinking about this topic of power recently, God has brought it to my mind. Something that I've known. I mean, I've been a Christian for 35 plus years. I know about God's power, the availability of it, the fact that it's in us and how we can tap into it. But you know, sometimes the Christian life is like driving a truck. As you know, I drive a truck. So this week, on Friday, the boss would have said, "Can you train a new driver on Monday?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So the new driver showed up on Monday, and here's what I was thinking. You know, driving, I told my wife, driving a truck requires, I mean, there's a lot of things happening at the same time. You have to be concerned about getting in the right gear. The trucks we drive are 18 speeds, so that's, I used to only drive 10 speeds, so now I've got to be concerned about all these extra gears, but there's a purpose for that, and you need to be in the right gear at the right time for what you're doing, especially if you're pulling 80,000 pounds. And so the driver came, and I come to find out he has a CDL, but he's never driven a truck. I was already worried. I was like, okay, right away I knew this much. Well, I'll teach him and train him. I'll try to get him behind the wheel, but not under a load. He can drive empty, but I'm certainly not going to put him under a load. But so we were driving, so I asked him, do you know how to double clutch? No. I'm like, okay, well, this presents a little bit of a problem. So if you don't double clutch, then it's always, you're always grinding the gears. And so he was grinding the gears, and I had to help him through that. And I said, well, do you understand how to, use your tachometer to know when you're supposed to shift? Well, I never really thought about that. Okay, so I tried to teach him that. And then I said, listen now, one of the main things, have you ever driven a trailer that has what we call California tandems? That means the tandems of the back trailer are all the way to the rear of the trailer. He said, no. That's another thing. I said, well, let me warn you, this is before we even left the yard. I said, let me warn you, because when the tandems are that far back, when your front wheels are going here, your trailer is following back wheels way over here. I said, so if we're approaching a car and you turn too soon, the truck may be turning the car, but your trailer's dragging is coming in behind too, and you can just run right over a car, or a telephone pole, or a sign, or whatever it is you're turning around. I said, you have to watch the back tandems at all times. I could see him getting nervous, and I was nervous too. I thought, well, he's never driven a big machine like this. One time we came down the exit ramp, and I said, we're going to turn right here. Well, and there's a guardrail, and he just started to make a normal turn like a car. And I said, Steve, watch your tandems. And I could feel it. He was that close to the guardrail, you know, and I was like, oh, my stars. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not used to this. I said, what do you mean used to it? You've never done it. Anyway. I mean, I was a little bit panicked, but I tried not to let him know that. I tried to encourage him and said, well, from the time we left where we ended up to come back to the yard, I said, you actually improved. Really? I said, yeah, you were getting better. I said, it just takes time. And I said, I'll see you tomorrow. The boss said, take him again the next day. I said, I'll see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Okay. 6 o'clock next morning, no Steve. 6:05, no Steve. 6:10, no Steve. 6:15, no Steve. Still no Steve. Today, no Steve. So I don't know what happened to Steve. I think Steve got too scared and just didn't want to come back. And I asked the boss, have you heard from Steve? No, I haven't heard a word. He said, was he afraid of the truck? I said, yeah, I think he was. I said, he had no experience, so. Anyway, I tell that story to say this. You're driving a truck. You have to be aware of what gear you're in. You've got to watch your mirrors. Just keep your head moving back and forth to the mirrors. You have to be aware of your rear tandems. You've got to be understanding how the load is shifting or not as you're driving along. A lot of things happening simultaneously. And I thought this morning, the Christian life's kind of like that. You have to be, there's a lot of things that we ought to be doing, and sometimes we forget to do some of those things. And down the track, God has to remind us, well, what about this? And I think that's exactly what happened here as God spoke to my heart about His power this week. And so I need to just grab something over here real quick to help us this morning. There's a lot of extra stuff happening this morning, and so I'm still preaching till 2 regardless. Okay, let me get this fired up here real quick. Now, you might not be able to see this. I might move these chairs so you can see a little better. Can you see the outlet there? Most of you? If you can, I'll explain. But okay. But there's one up on the platform? Where? Oh, yeah. I didn't see that earlier. I was walking around looking, and the preacher saw me. What are you looking for? Oh, can I help you, sir? Somebody deal with this sinner. Okay, we'll put it here, but then people over there can't see it. That's okay. What I have there is I have the extension cord up to the outlet, but it's not in the outlet, okay? All right, let's keep moving here. So, let me get my other bag of props out here. Here we go. Got to have something to vacuum, right? Okay, now watch this. Is anything happening? I'm going through the motions, but the paper is not getting sucked up, is it? And for obvious reasons, right? We're not plugged in. The power cord is laying on the floor beneath the outlet. There's nothing happening. Now, preachers usually are meant to keep their pulse on not only the church, but society at large. And sometimes when preachers get up to preach, it may sound or seem like they're beating you in the head. And I don't want to be that way today, though I may make some very pointed statements. But I want you to understand that as I do this ridiculous task with no power, this is a good illustration of many Christians today who are simply going through the motions of the Christian life, but they're doing it in their own power and nothing's getting accomplished and nothing is certainly happening for the kingdom of God, and they wonder why they're faltering, wondering why their life is the way it is, and it's all because they are not plugged in. Do you get me this morning? They're not plugged in. And I have the access to tremendous power over here, but as long as the cord remains on the floor, nothing's going to happen. We have to get plugged in. And God has given you and He's given me this tremendous power source. If you think about God Almighty, the Creator of the universe, who simply spoke the worlds into existence. And we have this powerful word that we own and carry around called a Bible. We have access to great power, though most Christians are unplugged. It's a shame. Now listen, before you think I'm beating on you, I'm beating on me too, because God had to remind me this week. Look, stop trying to do it in your own power and get yourself plugged in. And I said, ouch. Thank you, Lord, for that reminder. Sometimes we get so busy, well, I want to read my Bible and I want to make sure I do this in my prayer time and I want to make sure I spend time visiting and all these other things. And God's saying, okay, you need to do all those things. Remember the truck illustration? I have to be shifting, watching the road, checking the mirrors, looking at my tandems, all these things at the same time. God says, hey, check the power. Oh yeah, power. I must live my Christian life with or in the power of God. Power. My mind thinking these other crazy illustrations apart from the vacuum. One is, what if I had to cut down a tree, someone gave me a chainsaw. Can you visualize a chainsaw? I didn't bring one of those today. But it has a handle back here where the trigger is, and it's got a handle up on top, and then the bar goes out with the chain spinning on it. Got it? What if I went out to that tree and I simply did like this? Started sawing on the tree. Ridiculous, right? What if I just didn't know that all I have to do is flick a switch and boom, pull it and now we got some power happening here. Now we can get something done. How about you, Brother Joe, working in the industry you work in? Back in the day, it was just a lug wrench. Using your power. Now they've got these plug into a compressor and boy, those lug nuts are on or off just like that. Power. It's amazing what power can do for us when we use it. And it's amazing what God's power can do for you, believer, if you'll tap into it and use it. Live your Christian life in the power of God. Paul says here, great reminder, look at that verse again, verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how? According to the power that worketh in us. Is His power working in you this morning? So my vacuum this morning is a picture of many modern day Christians. They're just going through the motions. They're not really accomplishing anything. However, it is clear to me from Scripture that God has His mighty power in us and available to us, and we need to just get plugged in. Let me read some verses for you. Luke 24:49, listen for the word power. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. And finally, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And too many times, it's the power of our might. And we can't get accomplished. If I try to do it in my might, it's back to this. And by the way, if somehow one of these pieces got caught in the roller and went up in the vacuum, not likely to happen, but if it did, if I happen to do something good for the Lord in my power, it's of no eternal, there's no eternal value to it because it was done in my power. I need to do it in His power and the power of His might. You know, getting plugged into the power, if we could just plug in back here, if we could plug into the power source, it would enable you, listen now, it would enable you to forgive someone who you just don't feel like forgiving. Hello? We're grudge holders by nature. We hold grudges, don't we? We say things like, oh, well, I'll forgive, but I'm not going to forget. Listen, friend, that's not forgiveness. If you could get plugged into the power source, you could forgive someone who's hurt you and you don't want to forgive. How about this? If you could get plugged into the power source, you could break, how about this? You could break a bad habit. What's your bad habit? Don't tell me. What's your bad habit this morning? What is it that can I say something right here? I'm going to interject this. It saddens me that our church doesn't use this altar. That's all I'll say. Anyway, what is it that you have come to the altar and said, Lord, I did it again. Please forgive me. I want to do better. And back to your seat. Or you just prayed it in your seat, which is usually the case here. Lord, I have this habit or this sin or what, you know, whatever. It just keeps coming back. Let me tell you something right now. You will not overcome that habit in your own power. It's going to require, it's going to take, it's going to have to happen through the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of God in your life to overcome a bad habit. You can't will it. You can't say, I'm going to do it. No, sir. The flesh is weak, but God's mighty. And His power is mighty. You could break a bad habit. How about get victory over a nagging sin? That kind of is the same. How about this? Moving forward in life when you feel stuck. If you ever get a place in life, you just say, you know what, I just feel like I'm stuck in a rut. How about plugging into the power source and move on? Amen. And get somewhere. Plug into the power source. How about this? If you could plug into the power source, you could face fears or deal with adversity. Yeah, I often marvel. I think about, here's the writer of this book, Paul, I mentioned it last week, in a Mamertine prison. In a little tiny, basically stone cell, dark and damp, and yet he wrote the book on joy. Philippians. How did he do that when his circumstances were so horrific? I'll tell you how he did it. He was plugged in. He was plugged into God. How about Joseph when they threw him in a pit and then he went to Potiphar's house and they threw him in prison? You know, it seemed like one thing after another. How did he sit in prison? The Bible says God was with him, but he sat in prison waiting and waiting. How did he do that? He was plugged in. He was plugged in. If we could get plugged into the power source, we could handle the juggling act of life. The competing demands from work and family and ministry and friends and other commitments. We could handle that with the power of God. In my power, I want to throw in the towel. In my power, I think, oh, and I'm in this boat. Look, I worked 60 hours last week driving a truck. And I've got to do my church-related responsibilities. Music, planning for the service, getting the words organized for up on the wall, and choosing the songs and all that stuff. That's in addition too. So I have to juggle life and work and ministry and my family and the finances and trying to juggle all those balls. But listen, I need the power of God to do that effectively, and so do you. You see, you need the power of God in absolutely every area of your life. And the good news is, listen, you have direct access to the power source. Just like I'm looking at this outlet right here. Cord, that Mr. Vacuum. You have direct access to the power source. All we gotta do is plug it in. There are folks sitting in this room this morning. Listen now. I'm not being mean to you, but this is the facts. In some cases, I fall into the same category. Folks sitting in this room this morning, you know your Bible. You can quote Bibles. You could rattle off the names of the books. You know your Bible pretty well. Some of you come to church on a regular, faithful basis. Amen. Some of you may even give to missions further. Amen. I love missions. You know your Bible, you come to church, you give in the offering, but you're not plugged in! Not plugged into the power source. You live life apart from the power. You're not plugged in, no divine power. Most Christians never, and get this is sad, most Christians never experience God's power. They simply limp along life. Feeling inadequate, always faltering, always falling. And to them, this verse we read, Ephesians 3:20, to them, it's nothing more than a dream. They look at that verse and say, that can't happen for me. Oh, yes, it can. You just need to plug in. Plug into the power source. Well, in our passage here this morning, I believe that we can see three things that would help us to get plugged in. I think there's a lot more we could say. We could lengthen the list, I believe. And there's certainly other places in the Bible that would help us to get plugged in. I'm not going to mention this one necessarily, but you know what? If we were just to walk in the Spirit 24/7, if we would walk in the Spirit of God, guess what? We would be plugged in. Because He would be operating through us and not our own selves. So that we could add that to the list. I'm not going to touch it because I want to stay just in Ephesians 3. Though Paul actually alludes to the Spirit in chapter 3, but it's not one of my points. But let's go there. Go back to chapter 3. We'll look at these. The first thing that we could do to help us to get plugged in is found in verse 16. Verse 16 tells us, he says, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Watch this next phrase now. To be strengthened with might, and here is what I was alluding to, by His Spirit, in the inner man. So number one, the first thing we can do to help us to get plugged in is to strengthen our inner man. Strengthen our inner man. What is the inner man? Well, it's our soul, we might say. It's the part of us that we can't see. You know, our lives, our body, soul, and spirit, we see the body. And by the way, we sure take a lot of time working on the outer man. In fact, probably 90% of marketing is toward the outer man. Clothing, cologne, deodorants, toothpaste, hair pro... Skip that one. Shoes. All that stuff is for the outer man. And we take care of the outer man. We get in the morning in the mirror. We groom. We brush. We wash. All these things. We get dressed. We make sure it's all looking good. We take care of the outer man. But Paul said, you know what? Even though you take such good care of the outer man, you better start focusing on that inner man. You start focusing on the inner man because he needs to be plugged in. And so we must focus on the inner man, strengthen the inner man. We must spend much more time strengthening the inner man. How do you do that? How do you focus on the inner man? Here it is in a nutshell. Sorry to be so simple. You fill your mind with the Word of God. You fill your mind with the Word of God. If we took the average Christian and calculated how much time they spent reading novels and magazines, watching TV, playing games, all these ridiculous things, versus how much time they spend putting the Word of God in their mind, we would see a very lopsided picture. We must fill our minds with the Word of God. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly in all wisdom. Although the outer physical man becomes weaker and weaker with age, I'm feeling it, the inner spiritual man should continually grow stronger and stronger with power through His Spirit. Only God's Spirit can strengthen our spirit. And so yes, this outer man gets weaker and weaker, closer to death. But my inner man should be getting stronger and stronger with each passing year. When the inner man is fed regularly on the Word of God and seeks the Spirit's will in all decisions of life, the believer can be sure he will be strengthened with power through God's Spirit. You'll be plugged in. Spiritual power is not the mark of a special class of Christians, but is the mark of every Christian who submits to the Word and to the Spirit. If you'll just fill your mind with the Word of God and submit your life to the Spirit of God, you will be plugged in. Guarantee it. Like physical growth and strength, spiritual growth and strength, they do not happen overnight. It takes time, understand that. But we need to get plugged in. Number two thing that we see in this passage, I'm trying to hurry a little bit. I see we're late already, so forgive me. We're probably going to go a little later than normal, but we had some extra things on the agenda here this morning. The second thing I want to show you is this in verse 17. Verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then this next phrase, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. And that's the second thing. How can we be plugged in? We get to where we're rooted and grounded in love. Now, as I say that, I want to read the next verse too, because Paul goes on to explain exactly what he's talking about. In verse 18, he says, that may be able to comprehend or understand with all saints. Look how he describes it. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. He's describing God's love. He says, look, Christian, if you can come to the place where you're rooted and grounded in love, that means you begin to understand just how much God loves you. You see a lot of Christians walking around, well, I wonder if God really loves me. And look, that's nonsense. Yes, God loves you. He gave His only begotten Son for you. Is that not love? He loves you like crazy. You're the apple of His eye. He's crazy about you. Like I'm crazy about my wife. Amen. He's crazy about you. Don't ever doubt His love. And Paul said, look, you must comprehend. If you want to be plugged in, you must comprehend the I'm not going to say it just right, but the depth and the width and the length and the height and all that. You have to understand just how vast God's love for you really is. Now, mark it down. If I'm walking through life wondering, oh, I wonder if God really loves me. I'm just an old sinner. He can't, you know, God, I don't know if God loves me. I can promise you, as sure as I'm standing here, Brother Joe, if I have that attitude, I will not have the power of God. Those just don't go together. How are you going to have God's power if you're doubting His love? So Paul challenges us here. He says, look, you need to strengthen the inner man, work on that inner man. Yeah, go ahead and work on the outer man too, because you got to look good. But you better be more concerned about that inner man. Secondly, he says, look, you have to get it nailed down in your heart of hearts. Understand and comprehend how God loves you. The love of God for you. That is huge. And I'll be honest, Brother Van Winkle, I don't know if I really understand how God loves me. But I'm working on it. I'm trying. He loves me so, so much that He would do that. That's love. That's amazing love. Amen. So rooted and grounded in His love. Let me see if there's anything else I want to cover before we get there. Oh yeah, here we go. Rooted and grounded in love. Here is a double metaphor. One taken from agriculture, the other from architecture. As trees, we are to be rooted in love. This is the soil in which our souls are to grow. As a building, our foundation is to be laid in His love. And here is the ground on which alone the soul and all its hopes and expectations can be safely founded. This is a foundation that could never be shaken. Is when you get a hold and understand the love of God. Rooted and grounded here means to build under you a deep and stable foundation of knowing and understanding the love of God to you. In other words, the knowledge of God's love to you is the foundational truth upon which all other truths must be built. Contrarywise, Christians who live in guilt, Christians who live in guilt, who live in fear, and live in condemnation, are not rooted and grounded in the love of God. You see, God sent His Son to die for our sins and weaknesses. And without fully knowing and fully understanding that kind of love to you, you will never have a stable or permanent foundation on which to grow, and therefore you will never understand the power of God in your life. You will never experience the power of God in your life if you don't first comprehend or understand the level of love that He has for you. We must get plugged in, folks. You ever get that tired feeling? You know what? I'm just so tired of this or that. I'm so tired of living blah, 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 fill in the blank. Listen, those are the words of a powerless Christian. Those are the words of a powerless Christian. When you're plugged in, you don't talk like that. You may not understand the circumstances of life, but you live in power and you rise above it. Amen. Amen, preacher. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Number three. Let's get to this third thing we got to finish up. Back to verse 19 now. So what was the first one? We must, verse 16, we must strengthen the inner man. Number two, verse 17, we must be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Understanding fully, if that's possible, but getting somewhat of a grasp on how deep and wide and high and long and all that, that His love really is for me. And then number three, verse 19, he says this. He goes on to talk about the love, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And then he says this, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Interesting how he puts a couple extra words in there. Ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with God is a great thing. To be filled with the fullness of God is still greater. But to be filled with all the fullness of God utterly bewilders the sense and confounds the understanding. Wow. He said all fullness of God. Now there's a lot of theological things we could talk about there, I suppose, but I just want to keep it very simple. Look, to be filled with all the fullness of God is to have the whole soul filled with the meekness and the gentleness and the goodness and the love and the justice and the holiness and the mercy and the truth of Christ Almighty. Being filled with the fullness of God would imply that you are not filled, listen, you are not filled with yourself nor sin. Filled with God. Filled with God. Many Christians today are so full of themselves, there's no room for being filled with the fullness of God. Can you say amen right there? Wow. Our society is so proud, so full of themselves. You just have, and it's everywhere. Selfies abound. Look at me. You know, it's all about me. What I'm doing today. Look at my new whatever. It's all about us, me, myself, and I. The unholy trinity. Me, myself, and I. And, most Christians are so full of themselves, look, there's no room for God to fill them. In order for you to understand all the fullness of God in yourself, you need to get you off the throne of your heart and put the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords back on the throne of your heart where He belongs and submit yourself to Him. And like Brother Van Winkle said this morning, Lord, I had my plan, but my plan had to be I had to step that aside and let You do Your plan. That's when you know that He's on the throne. When it's not about what I want, but what do you want? And be filled with the fullness of God. Now, just again, we could talk about the Holy Spirit here because again, if we are filled, Ephesians tells us to not be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Very similar concept, I suppose. We could go there, but we're just trying to stay here in Ephesians chapter 3. We're so full of ourselves that we don't leave room for God. By the way, it's either you or Him. You can't share the throne. Say, well, Lord, here's the throne of your heart. Oh, Lord, I feel convicted by Brother Toma this morning. Here. You sit here by me. Oh, no. No, no, no. He's like, get out of my way. It's got to be that way. Lord, here's the throne of my heart. I'm out. You're in. And then when you do that, power, power, you can begin to understand the power of God. So I must close. Those are three things we see from this passage. Paul says, you know what? There's power. It should be working in you, verse 20. Now, let me go back to the vacuum here. We're going to close with the vacuum. Or we could be talking about the chainsaw. Or we could be talking about the torque wrench. Something so simple. Amen? So simple as working on my inner man. Filling my mind with the Bible. Praying. Be faithful to church. Doing all the things I know I should be doing as a Christian. That simple. So simple as being rooted and grounded in love. Just starting to realize, you know what? God must really love me to send His only begotten Son. And there's no exception. He loved the whole world. Simple. This vacuum, it's so simple as being filled with all the fullness of God. Simply getting myself, my sorry carcass, off the throne of my heart and letting God have His rightful place. Simple. Ready?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Fears and adversity. Wow. I can't forgive. Feeling stuck in life. Juggling all of life's demands. That nagging sin. One more. I have bad habits. I got power now, Brother Joe! It's gone. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's as easy as that. Simple as that. Listen, we're going to stop now, but let me close with this one last thing. I don't want to oversimplify. Look, it's not... It requires work. The Christian life doesn't just happen. You're going to need to, on purpose, fill your mind with this book. You're going to, on purpose, have to begin to meditate and concentrate and understand just how much God loves you. And you're going to, on purpose, have to die to self daily and get your butt, pardon me, get your rear end off the throne of your heart and let God have His place in your life. His rightful place, because He owns you. How dare we, attempt to run our lives apart from the power of God when He has full rights to our lives. He owns us. We were bought with a price. Amen. Now, let me just appeal to you one last time in this area. Is it a bad habit? Do you feel stuck? Is it a nagging sin? You can't find whatever it takes to forgive somebody? What is it in your life? You're having difficulty juggling life. It just seems like out of control. Listen. Get plugged in. God has all the power you would ever need if you'll just plug in. Amen.